Hello, everybody. It's March 28, 2016. We're here with Dallas Snyder. And the subject for this, what was the subject this month anyway?
Core belief.
Core belief. But tonight it's question and answer. So hopefully everybody brought their tons of questions and answers. Anyway, there we go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I hope that everyone had a wonderful Easter. It's one of those times that so many people in the world celebrate one holiday, Easter. And I think it's really nice that they do that. And I hope that Easter meant something to you and to me more than just going to church. The whole idea of Easter is the resurrection. And what is the resurrection? The resurrection is in your mind. What new ideas have resurrected? What have you resurrected in your mind for the Easter season? It's a wonderful way to look at Easter instead of the Christian way of thinking that a man by the name of Jesus arose from the dead. That may be true, it may not be true, I don't know. Nor do I care. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. What makes a difference is what you're thinking. What makes a difference is, are you being kind to yourself and others? That's the thing in life, to be learn to be kind to yourself and learn to be kind to others. So with that said, I'll open it up for questions and answers, and you can ask me anything. It doesn't have to be on the topic of for the month was core beliefs. And of course, last week we weren't here because I got ill and didn't make it. So, with that, does anyone have a question? Christine usually has tons of questions.
I think that you said, what am I thinking that is causing this reality?
Yes.
You said that, thinking about that. But one of the questions I have might not have anything to do with that, or it might, which is, sometimes I feel envious or jealous of things that other people have, or
yes,
not necessarily material things, you know, other things too. And I see this is pretty negative emotion to have, I guess, but I have a hard time. It comes naturally, so I was wondering if you can help with that.
It comes naturally. You know, I love to covet, and that's the same thing as what you're saying. But we notice it, and once you notice it, you can do something about it. And you don't make yourself a bad person. You say, oh, look what my mind's doing now. It's absolutely jealous of those people because they got more money or they got the car, they look better or whatever. But that's just your mind doing that. And once you become a witness to your thinking and you see what the mind is doing, you forgive yourself for that immediately and say, well, my mind's doing that, but that is not me. Always, and that's the hardest thing we do. You have to remember that you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And when you have those jealous thoughts and all that kind of turmoil going on, you're allowing your ego and your mind to dictate your life. Now, it can scream and yell and tell you all that stuff, but you can talk back to it and say, listen, this is not the person I want to be. This is not the way I want to go through life. This is not the reality that I want. And then tell your mind what you want and say, now this is what I want and this is what I want you to do for me. And your mind has to listen to you.
I want you to be peaceful about this?
Yes. Take this burden from me. I no longer want to do this. Because that's your puppet of your conditioning. And we see that in the world. You know, the world's very convincing. And all that jealousy and all that stuff the world says, that's okay, you can be jealous of that person. You can't afford to be jealous. You know, there was a book out years ago, You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. You just can't afford it. They used to be fun. They used to be. And you can mess around with it in your mind and so forth. It's going to get you nowhere. It only hurts you. So when you know that, say, I'm going to change. And tell yourself, I'm changing. I'm listening to what's going on, but I'm not going to get involved with it. See, the mind wants to suck you in all the time. And it does, doesn't it? Does that help you, Christy?
Yes.
Mr. Jerry, what do you have?
Well, this is kind of a... I was just wondering, you know, how a lot of the Old Testament is about this. I don't read the Old Testament, but I mean, you know, you can't not grow up in this area and not hear a little bit of it. But, you know, how much it's like fear-based.
Well, the whole Old Testament is based on brimstone, fire and brimstone. It's always that the God in the Old Testament is always vengeful. And then when Jesus came with a new covenant, the covenant of love, the New Testament doesn't do that. But the Old Testament punishes you. Just punishes. Some people love to get a hold of the Old Testament and say, you know, let's punish these people. Let's do this, that, and the other thing, you know. I was very upset with myself and had to set myself down and say, now, Dallas, because of the those bombings in Brussels and all, you know. And you could hate those people, but I had to set myself down and love them, you see. They don't know what they're doing. You have to love them. But the Old Testament tells you that that is correct. And the Old Testament, and we use that throughout our society and throughout the world, we use the idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the Old Testament. But that's not even Christianity. That's Hammurabi's law. It has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. But it filtered itself into the Old Testament, so there it is. And people grab onto that and hold that all the time. You see, you can't say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's why the Muslim, if you steal, they cut off your hand. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. You see, what happened to love when you do that kind of stuff? I'm going to punish that person for this, that, or the other thing. No, no good. You have to sit down and love and turn it around. And if you can't turn it around, stop thinking about it. That's what I do. I just stop thinking about those things. When I want to think of something, I see the world in peace. And I see all the countries getting along, all the governments getting along with each other, you see. I don't hate any government. I don't hate any person in the world. You know? And those poor people are so conditioned, you know, because I think they're getting, what, 37 virgins at the end of the thing or something. Yeah. How many is it? 30, it's 67 or something. It's a horrible number. That's all conditioning. So with the Bible, and I over the course the holiday here, Easter, I flicked around to see what I'd love to see what these ministers are telling people. And I'm going to tell you, they're telling them horrible, horrible things. It's not right, you know. They are right along with it. Oh, go ahead and punish these people. You can't punish anybody. You know, and that's why we think God punishes, because we do. God does not punish. This thing called God is incapable of punishing. But we do it. So then we think, well, God does it too. God. That's not punishment. So we cannot punish. Susan, do you have a question?
I have to settle in on it.
Oh, settle. All right.
Speaking of the Bible, whether it's the New Testament or the Old, there's a passage in there that says, whosoever shall believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
As I approach my 90th birthday, I'm saying to myself and to others, I have no intentions of dying.
Well, that's okay. There are many people, there is
a... Well, the problem is, if he said this, wherever, whether he's up there or right here, which is the truth?
Oh, I don't know what the truth of that is. You know, I know that there are people like Leonard Orr and all that believe in immortality. They're planning on living forever. We die and because we watch everyone else do it. So we think we have to. Didn't in the Bible, didn't they used to live 600-700 years?
And then our teachings teaches us that I'm God.
Yes.
Why should I want to die?
That's it. Exactly. Exactly. I agree with you.
I mean, most people think I'm crazy when I say that, or I'm kidding, but I'm not.
No, you're not kidding, but they do think you're crazy because no one's ever done it. And they fall for that, you know, I have to die at 83 or whatever. They put those numbers on people. You know, don't just keep going.
Oh, I intend to.
So does Rose. She intends to keep on going.
Yeah, Rose is a joke. Yeah.
I'm
So, Annie, don't listen to those things. And that's the,
oh, I don't. I'm
the outside world
I'm
telling.
I'm not going.
No, that's it.
I'm really sincere about that.
Yeah.
Period. It says if you believe, you're not going anywhere. I believe.
Besides,
I can't
you believe
forward.
That too?
No, when time comes,
you'll know it.
Pardon?
Yeah, as the time comes, you'll know it. That's true. I don't worry about such things. You know.
What do you think
happens?
What's going to happen to you?
I have no idea. But I'm going to continue.
Until something happens.
I don't think anything is ever going to happen. You're thinking death and stuff. I think I said this once before. Life has no opposite. But we're taught that it's life and death. But there's no opposite to life. You know, it's life. And I'm going to just keep going. Pardon?
That's all we're going to know is life.
That's all you're ever going to know is life, yes. Remember the little thing, such as the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity. It doesn't say death and you are that opportunity. It says life. Life. So, have fun and joy. That's the thing. Regardless, you're doing it. And you're doing swell, aren't you? Look at you.
Oh, she's getting younger.
Her face and all. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. And you feel good and all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The body is very forgiving. And the body can heal itself very quickly. But we're told we other things about the body. Not true.
The body is amazing.
It is an absolutely miracle. I mean, I'm surprised. Oh, I get just goosebumps when I think about that, what the body does. Mm-hmm. And no one knows, you know, even doctors, they don't know that. They can repair, they can do this, but they don't know what the body's doing. So...
be grateful for
oh,
body.
Yes.
Seemingly has let us down.
Yes. Well, the body never lets you down.
Well,
the body is
something we're not
for you. The body didn't do anything, honey. The body has no causation of its own. Your mind did something to you. And you fell into a trap. That's all.
The mind did what? The mind created something?
Well, the only thing that creates is mind, so. The body can't create anything on its own. If the body had a mind of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from you. Mm-hmm. And they don't. You control them. So. And here again, that's a difficult one, and then people want to punish themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, what was I thinking? What did I do wrong? What's this? And then the hell with that. It happened. Now get over it. You see? Let's get over anything that's happening. Much better way to go through life. You can do it. You're doing it. You're doing marvels, and so are you. We are all doing marvels. This body is just a miracle machine, I'm telling you. So, use it.
For everybody. Yeah, you know. I don't see it quite that way. I mean, I feel personally, because I've had so much strife with my body and overcome so much, that yes, I agree with what you're saying, but I think other people haven't, you know, their body gave up on it.
Well, they think that because they're told that all the time.
But it's true. I mean, you feel it. It has given up. They don't. I remember people, the first time I had cancer, a movie star type people. And they've been gone for 40 years now. And I'm still sitting. So, what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, you must have learned something that you don't realize that you've learned. Your mind must be very powerful.
The first time I went through this, there was great motivation to live because I wanted to be a leader. So it was great determination for life,
well,
toward life.
So I think that's still going on in you.
Yes, it is.
So you started it way back when. So it became a core belief.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Keep doing it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So, and you sit, you're grateful for everything that happens to you, so that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's simple. It's older, more simple.
Right.
Beauty in the simple.
Well, there's always beauty in the simple. So just keep seeing all the beauty around you and realize that you don't have to go down the same path that everyone else goes down. Most people, when they get ill or have a life-threatening something going on, they don't think they have the power. That's because they turn all their power over to the doctors and to this and to that. You have to say, I have the power. I'm using all these sources, but I'm the one with the power. You know? And you know that, but you can read that anywhere about in hospitals and so forth. The ones that are stubborn, the ones that cause the trouble at all, are the ones who live. Passive people die very quickly. And you're feisty, so. I know. Well, be feisty. There's nothing wrong with that. I know that you have the power to overcome anything. You have to. You can say, oh, you know, If you cut yourself, it heals, does it not? And it heals from the inside. Now, if your body can heal that, it can heal anything. It can heal anything. It's fantastic what it does.
I have a friend now that has this problem, and she's so freaked out that she can't control what's going on with her body, but she's very negative.
Well, there you have it.
She lives in fear, really. And now this thing has come on her, and she's just out of control with fear about not being able to, her body isn't working for her.
Well, just love her. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. No comment, no opinion. Be a sounding board for her. When I had the church in Knoxville, Tennessee, I one Sunday said to the congregation, the body has no causation of its own. Well, that was a mistake. This was in, of course, Knoxville, Tennessee. A girl came up to me afterwards and she said, "How dare you make a remark like that?" She said, "My friend," I can't remember the friend's name, "has rheumatism." Oh, she's got her hands like this and the whole works. And I said, "Well, let me ask you something. What's her relationship with her family?" "She hates them." I said, "Well, that's one. How about her job?" "She hates her job." Everything I mentioned, she hated. I said, "Well, no wonder her hands are all curled up. You know, you can't have all that hatred going on.
The fear.
The fear. And the hatred. Yes. Don't let it get to you." And it's easy to hate, isn't it? Oh, it's so...
No, it's easier to love.
Easier to love? Good for you, Rose.
It feels better, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it certainly does.
It's hard not to hate certain things. I mean, I have to admit, the political things.
Oh, well, that's a comedy. Of errors, I think.
Oh.
That went down the tubes. No dignity left in our system.
That's driven into love. It's not easy.
I just look at them and laugh. I just have to laugh at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing you can do. They're all crazy. I compare it to the political thing in these debates and so forth. They made it into a reality show.
Oh, it is.
It's worse than the Kardashians.
So far, that's what everybody's watching.
And they know, and now Donald Trump knows how to turn a phrase to get all the publicity he wants. So.
Does he spend any money on it?
Well, he says he hasn't spent a cent. Pardon?
That's what he says.
Well, that's what he says. Well, because if he says something, the newspapers grab it right away and do all kinds of crazies. Did you have another question, Christine? No? Yes, Jerry does.
When you mentioned about the bodily, you know, does it...
Body has no causation of its own.
Yeah, so... For about a month, my dog fell asleep on my knee about a month ago, and it's been hurting ever since. And, not all the time. It kind of goes away, and then it comes back, goes away. For about a month, can you give me kind of an affirmation or meditation or something like that for healing it and stopping me from thinking about it or some damn thing?
Yeah. I would take my hand and I would put it on that area and say, "I'm healing you right here and right now. And the energy from my hand is healing." And it'll go away.
Is it a big dog? That's big.
His hand was on my knee all night.
You didn't have enough sense to move it.
I love him so much.
That's it.
They're asleep on your bed.
You'll stay awake all night so that they have a need.
Yeah.
I
walk around the whole room.
I don't really walk on my leg that crazy.
You were on the old people's stomach. He was all right at all.
He doesn't care.
Yeah. Funny.
Okay, thank you, Dallas.
Yeah, do it yourself. You know, you can do that. If you went to a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or a massage therapy, it's all done with the hands, and they do it. So if they can do it, you can do it. So, you know.
So get to work.
Yeah. You know, I know Reiki masters who, I forget. I had a friend, Louise. She's not with us anymore. She made me a Reiki something or other one a long time ago. But she did it all with her hands. Reiki is just done with your hands.
They're so wonderful.
Hands. Right.
And there's a kind of a healing part of placement of hands. Or
right.
They hands.
Laying on the pain.
We do that in church.
You do?
No, they do that in the Baptist church.
Oh, yes, they do. This church does not believe in laying on of hands because of the mind. But I happen to believe in it.
But the Baptist church, what does that mean?
Huh?
So what does that mean in the Baptist church, the laying on of hands?
They're healing.
It's healing.
Oh, yeah, they heal. Yeah. And you get enough, there's energy going on. And they don't get one person, they get a bunch around the person. So it's all that energy going in. Yeah, now, I guess you're going to become a Baptist.
That part of it. Yeah. We'll have all
them.
We'll go to a Baptist church.
The Baptist, do you know what I know about the Baptist church? Two things.
Your friend.
Oh, Doug the Baptist.
Yeah.
Show me four Baptists, and I'll show you a fifth.
Show you what?
Show me four Baptists, and I'll show you a fifth.
Well, they like to drink.
They're all drink alcoholics.
They like to drink.
Well, I don't know if they're all alcoholics, but they do like to drink. The other thing I know about the Baptist church is... why do they not have sex standing up?
Why do they not have sex
standing up?
The Baptists?
Yeah.
Why?
May lead to dancing.
Oh my goodness.
And they are, you know, some Baptist organs dance.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So, those are the things I know about the Baptist Church. And it's called the Baptist Church because they baptize people by submersion.
John the Baptist.
Yes.
Last time we went to a Baptist church, they were running around.
Oh, God, and they go on for hours. You think, is this going to end? You get a little bored with it, don't you? You think, I have things to do. I want to get out of here.
They can go all day.
Yes, they can go all day.
Doing what? Baptizing?
No, just preaching.
Having church.
Having church.
Really?
I thought it was dip people in the water.
Oh, they do dip people in the water.
Yeah, that's a different ceremony. That's a baptismal ceremony. Exactly. They don't do that every Sunday.
And you can still remember when I was in Jerusalem at the Jordan River, they lined people up. They, for $2, I think you could rent a white robe to put on and then walk into the Jordan River and be dunked.
In the water.
Yeah, in the water. I thought it reminded me of Disneyland.
There was a line of people?
That's
a line of people.
Oh,
well, of course. Standing in line to get baptized. It was like, you know.
Was this supposed to be a good...
My other...
Not a sin, it's a...
Yeah.
Well, in the Baptist churches that I know here, they would have a baptismal Sunday.
Yes.
It wouldn't be every Sunday.
Yes.
Maybe once every other month or
and
something.
And they have a
like
big
that.
Pool.
They have a pool on the under the pulpit.
Yes.
And they would line the people up, men and women and children, and in their white clothing and baptized after during the church service.
Yes.
Baptismal Sunday.
So I don't know where the baptism, why they started that John the Baptist and all that. What the whole idea of being baptized is, you're baptized into a new life.
Something to do with
it. Yeah. But I don't think it's, you know, it's not necessary to be baptized.
Well, yes, it is in the Baptist Church.
In the Baptist Church, it's also in the Lutheran Church.
And the Methodist Church, but they do yes. the sprinkling, you know, baby.
Yeah. When my grandfather died, the minister said to me, he was Lutheran, the minister, he said, well, Dallas, you know your grandfather's not going to get into heaven.
Really?
And I said, oh, really? He said, yes, because he's never been baptized. Mm-hmm. I said, keep that to yourself. Do not mention that to my mother. Mm-hmm. You know. Isn't that ridiculous to say he's not going to get into heaven?
Did you believe that, though?
They believe in there's a minister spouting that crap off.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you're not baptized, you're not going anywhere.
A lot of superstition connected to religion.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of myths and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff going on.
We believe all that as much as we believe what we believe.
Well, people believe it. Look at Christianity. For 2,000 years, they've been doing Christianity, telling you what you can do and what you can't do. I don't believe a word of it. So, you see, if we back to Rose about love and so forth, that's all this thing that we call God wants to do is love. God doesn't want to do anything else, you know. And that's what we have to remember. But we have all those people out there telling us otherwise, you know. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you about flicking the channel. Those ministers on those channels always know what God meant. God wants you to do this, God meant this, God, you know. I'd like to know how they figure that out. But it's always, they know the answer.
We hadn't been told them what the answer was. But they did before them.
Yeah, before them, but, you know. It all gets too convoluted. The best thing to do is know your own power. And don't let anyone take it from you. And you can heal, you can do all kinds of stuff, but it's done with the mind, people, and you can use the hands and all. Now, I know this teaching of religious science does not believe on hands, on laying on of hands. Why, I don't know. That makes no difference to me. If you can heal somebody with your mind or with your hands, do it. It doesn't matter. The main thing is to heal. You see? And we can do that.
But, you know, at the religious science church, when you have a treatment, which I've done several times, the person that's the profession that's learned all of this.
Practitioner.
Is the other practitioner. We always hold hands.
Yes, it's that's all right.
Yeah. Therapy.
Yeah. Laying hands on. Yeah. Well, I think in anything, it's human contact. You know, touching somebody heals them right away. They may not have been touched for days, years, some people. You know, it's just incredible. There was a lady in, had a church in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe your name will come to me. Yes, King, something King. Well, anyway, that church was wonderful. I used to go there on Sundays. I took my mother, and my mother was just overwhelmed because she was never used to anyone touching her or anyone really loving her, you know. She just broke down in tears because there was so much love in that church. So much love. It overwhelmed her, you know. And she didn't know what she was missing. A lot of people don't know that what they're missing is human touch, human companionship. You know, we get a lot from each other.
That's what I miss the most about my children. It is. I mean,
yeah,
that's the number one thing I miss.
Yes. My friend, the one I talk about, Joyce, she said, you need 3 hugs a day just for maintenance. 5 for growth. 5 hugs a day for growth. And we're afraid to touch each other. Did you ever notice that? People are afraid. And I think most of it is because, like, I didn't ever know somebody's going
to
take you to court. Yeah, exactly. My cousin who worked for tobacco and firearms in Washington said before they made that harassment or whatever that was ruling that you, he said, we used to be able to say to a woman, oh, that's a pretty dress. He said, we can't say a word anymore. You cannot give them compliments. You cannot, because they'll misconstrue it somehow.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
That's for John. Be careful.
With John, yes, be careful. It's human. We're all human, and it's the human family, and it's the touching and it's the loving about another human being that is healing and is wonderful.
We took a friend to church on Sunday, and she was absolutely amazed at the energy that was that she felt in the church. It was nothing but love, she said. She'd never felt that in her life.
Well, you don't feel that in most churches because if people walk in there, they sit down and do everything but what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not used to it themselves. They wouldn't know love if it came up and hit them in the head. You know? Look at some of those churches you go into. I mean, there's nothing going on in them. Beautiful spaces and nothing going on. So,
because we're all touchy-feely and hugging.
Yes, of course. And that, it doesn't, and it makes you feel good too, doesn't it?
You leave feeling elated.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I guess that everyone thinks that, you know, if you touch someone or say, make a compliment, you're trying to get them into bed, I suppose. I don't know what people think. But I'll tell you one thing that I do, and I get a little angry with myself, by the way. After a person leaves, I thought, oh, Dallas, you should have told them their hair looked nice, which it was, beautiful hair or something. I forget to give them a compliment. Don't forget to give compliments to people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Goes a long way.
Oh, my, yes. It makes people feel good. And they may not have had a compliment in days. So, in days or years.
Some people never get compliments.
That's right. You're all doing well, if you ask me, and I think you're all wonderful.
What's next month's topic?
I didn't think of it yet, but I will. Andy asked me that when he called. And I said, give me till tomorrow. With this one that we had this month, core beliefs, have you recognized any core beliefs? Yeah, they're there, and they direct your life.
Well, I know I'm getting better.
Yes.
I'm going to get better, even more better.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. A core belief.
Yes.
Remember that you are perfection, mm-hmm. because you came from perfection, and perfection can only create perfection. That's a really, didn't we used to have that little thing, God doesn't make junk?
Hmm.
And so many people think they're junk. It can't be junk. You were created by this thing we call God, which is perfect. Perfection cannot create something less than perfection.
The shame is how many of us spent so much of our lives thinking we were junk.
Yes.
What a waste of years.
Well, because that was...
Now that we really know that we really are.
That was the norm to people say things like that. And you were afraid back then. If you would have said to yourself, I'm a wonderful perfection and reflection of this thing called God, somebody would have hit you on the head and said, who the hell do you think you are? You know, now we can say things like that. And it is, it's a shame that we grow up
yes.
not knowing how wonderful we are. Which is another cute story, I'll tell you. Somebody moved into a new town, and they had three children, and they wanted to send them to church. So the closest church was the Religious Science Church. So they sent them off to the Religious Science Church. When they got home, the mother said, well, what did you learn? And the little kid said, we learned wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. The mother said, well, you're not going back to that church.
No.
They don't want to hear that. You know, the children want it because they've probably never heard it in their life, you know. Never heard it in their life. And to think, when you taught school and all, to, if you told somebody that they were wonderful, it helps them, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Children, and most of all of us, we want to hear that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're hungry for all that. You see? So we have to do it for ourselves and for other people. Give the compliment. Tell people how wonderful they are. What's she saying back there? An old lady?
So do old ladies like to be told they're wonderful.
Absolutely they do. Of course. Why wouldn't we say that to old people?
No, I don't know.
Because I think it's ridiculous in the West that we do not revere older people. And they think that older people are stupid and dumb. You are loaded with that much wisdom from living. And you share that with people. That's wonderful. I adore older people, in fact. I grew up with them. My family was very old. All my aunts and uncles were really great aunts and uncles. They were old when I was born. So I'm used to older people. Now, somebody told me that children are, today, younger people are afraid of old people. Now, why would you be afraid of an old person? No idea. But we have to revere older people. That goes John and Rose.
I'm not going to put you. I don't know how big when I get old. In fact, I don't even know how big you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm very serious. When
well,
I
know.
I'm not going anywhere.
I know.
You sound like you're going to grow up.
Yeah.
That's a different story.
We don't want to learn.
Lifelong learning.
Yes, it is. And each time, each day, things change. I just love it. This is a wonderful adventure, you know, to be on and see, oh, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And wonderful things. There's a core belief for you, people. Wonderful things always happen to me. wonderful things happen. Most people think, oh, when I get old, this is... No, I never think that. I think wonderful things are in store. Wonderful things are in store for me. And I had a friend, Fran, I still have her, she's 80-something. She always said to me, oh, Dallas, you always land on your feet. And I use that as an affirmation and a core belief. I always land on my feet, regardless of what's going on. And I do. I make that a truism. Now, you've always landed on your feet.
My daughter says I'm the most resilient person she's ever known.
Well, there.
And I like that core belief that she has about me and that I've seen in myself.
Well, and let's know that you pass it on to her. Because
yes.
For her seeing you, she'll be the same.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. All right, people. Any more questions? No? Well, right then, we'll close for tonight by saying what? It's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
That's going to go up by and by in 26.
Why did they say you were 90?
Pardon me?
Why did you say you were 90?